Tonight, we're going to be studying about choice. Amen. I won't keep you here long tonight, but I think it's important that we be reminded about how important the choices that we make are and how we can submit them to God. Amen. Joshua 24:15, and of course, this is a very famous verse when it's speaking about choice. This was Joshua when he was talking to the children of Israel. They had been wandering around for quite a while, and now it was his turn for leadership. And he was just reiterating what Moses had already told them, some things that they needed to be aware of and they needed to make a recommitment to. And Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom he will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As I've said so many times, salvation is a personal thing. You have to choose your priorities. You have to choose to make God first in your life. You have to choose and have a made up mind that despite the things that come into life, the trials and tribulations, you're going to do like Job. The Bible said, nevertheless, Job did not charge God foolishly. You know, sometimes when things go wrong in our life, the temptation is to blame God. Why did you do this? Why did you let this happen? But you know, most of the time, it's our choices, our unsubmitted choices, the things that we have done that are actually the reason for where we are. But we like to point fingers at God and say, "Lord, why have you let this happen?" But the truth is, God gave us the ability to choose. Amen. And we, tonight, we're going to study about choice. You ever wish you could go back and change some of your choices? Boy, I wish I could go back and change some of my choices. Amen. But we can't go back. But what we can do is, going forward, we can make good choices. Amen. Of course, one of the prime examples in Scripture of making a bad choice, making choices based upon flesh, of course, is Lot. We're going to look at that. In Genesis 13, starting at verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes." You know how he was choosing? Eyes. What does the Scripture say in the New Testament about faith? We walk not by but by faith. He was looking, he was making his choice on how the situation looked to his natural flesh. When we do that, we're inevitably going to make a bad choice because we're not smart enough to really see the whole situation. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." He looked and made his choice based upon his sight. Oh man, that looks so good. This woman looks so good. That guy looks so good. And they could be the devil. They could be the very devil himself. Doesn't the Bible say that the devil transforms himself into an angel of light? Amen. We see that Lot, the first mistake he did was he didn't ask God anything. He looked and beheld and made the choice of where to go based upon just how it looks. When we do that, it's almost certain we're going to make a foolish choice. Amen. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan." This reminds me of exactly what Eve did in the garden. The devil planted a seed in her mind. The Bible said, and she looked. The moment you start looking at that, it's going to appeal to the flesh. The moment you start looking at something that you might want, it's going to appeal to the flesh, right? You know if you're going to go down to the mall, you're going to end up buying something. Right? You know if you go in a certain place, you're going to come out with something. You know what you ladies always say? "I'm just looking. I'm just going to look. I'm just going to give it a look." That's all it takes. It's just one look, and you end up coming out with something you never planned on buying. The Bible said that Lot lifted up his eyes. We have to really be cautious in our choices based upon our eyesight, because our eyes, our flesh, will deceive us. He looked on the well-watered plain. It looked good. It looked beautiful. The Bible says it was almost like the Garden of Eden. It was, in fact, it would have been a hard choice to resist based upon just sight. But the thing that made this such a bad choice is that God wasn't in it. You can choose a rock and stones, but if God is in it, you will be blessed. You can choose the well-watered plains of Sodom, but if God is not in it, there will be no blessing. It will turn out to be a curse. The Bible says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. See, God has called us not to make choices based upon our sight and what we think, because the Bible says even when we pray, we should pray in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit knows what we really need. I think I know what I need, but I'm probably wrong. You know, I think I know what I want, but when the Spirit prays through us, then it expresses what we really need. Your children can come up and they say they want this, and you know that's not what's going to be good for them. You know what they really need. God knows what we really need, so we have to submit our choices to Him. We have to choose carefully. Not only that, look at the consequences of Lot's choice. Look at the consequence. How many people in the end got saved with Lot? He doomed most of his family because of his... Your choice doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you. You know, your choice will not only affect you, but it will also affect your family. It'll affect the people around you. So that's why we can't just pretend, okay, I'm going to choose this and not consider the people around us and the things around us. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. He took his whole family down there. And that in the end was not a good choice. Because although it looked good, you know what Sodom and Gomorrah was famous for. You know what Sodom and Gomorrah was famous for. We see that God has given us this ability to make choice because it's so important to Him that we choose Him. You see, He could have made us robots. He could make us, he could make us always do what's right, but that would not be love. God has given us the ability of self-determination that we can choose to reject Him or choose to love Him. We see this first illustrated almost as the very first thing that God illustrated in Genesis is when He took Adam to name the animals. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. I've taught quite a lot this year and last year about our sovereignty, God's handing over of dominion to us so that we could choose. And the reason He gave it to us to be able to freely choose is that we could freely choose Him, that we could choose to love Him, that we could give back the dominion that He has given to us. And to illustrate this, He brought all these animals to Adam because He had given him dominion. And He brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I preached a message, or at least I think I preached a message. Be careful what you name your beast. Don't know if you remember it. At least I have it down that I preached it. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it was one I wrote out but didn't preach. Be careful what you name your beast, right? Because whatever you named it, that's what it was. See, I would name them nice gentle names. See, if it was a lion, I'd just call him a boo or something. Be careful what you name your beasts. Because Adam was given dominion and he could declare whatever name he chose over those animals. The Bible says, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of it. I just said a little while ago, it would be great if we could jump in a time machine and go back to some critical parts in our lives, wouldn't it? And you'd say, okay, I want to go back to when I was in high school and I did this and I should have done that. But the truth is, we cannot change the past. But we can every single day affect our future. You know, we're in such a hurry to go back, change the past, but we're not thinking, what about today? What are you doing today with your life? Are there choices that you could have done today that would have been better? Amen? Did you get up and thank God this morning? Yes. Amen. Did you thank God this morning and say, Lord, just I thank you. I bless your name. Did you pray for someone this morning? Yes. Amen. Hope you prayed for me. I need it. See, we have choices going forward. There's nothing we can do about last week or 10 years ago. But we can write tomorrow's book. We can write a good story. We can make the story come out and they lived happily ever after. How? By giving our choices to God. See, God has given us dominion, and we have to be careful then what we choose. The Bible says whatever Adam named it, that was what it was. So he named the serpent. Think about that. He named the serpent. So whatever you name your beast, you have to be careful what you call it. You know, some people have these huge pets and they have some little gentle name. And so, I've noticed that people take on the name that they have. You know, their nature seems to mix with the name that they have. So we cannot change the past, but we have control of our future. That's what the Bible says. We have to work out what? Our own salvation. You can't work out my salvation. I can't work out your salvation. You have to work out your own salvation. The preacher, the missionary on Sunday said, you know, Pastor can't fix you. I really wish I could. It would be so nice to just be able to say, okay, psh, 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 psh. All right, my job is done. Wouldn't that be great? I'd even point to myself, I'd fix me. But that's not how it is. The Bible says we've got to work out our own salvation. We have choices to make. We can't go back in the past and fix the past. Now, if we've hurt someone, we should say sorry. We should. Maybe we can't undo the past, but we do have an obligation as Christians to say sorry. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? That's how things are supposed to be done if you're a Christian. We cannot stop the Titanic from sinking, but we can stop some future thing. We don't have to book passage on a future one. Right? We take the past as warning for the future. If you keep not learning from your past, you're doomed to repeat the same mistake. And isn't that terrible? Now, years ago, they used to make you stay in the class if you failed, right? You wouldn't get to the next class. Now they don't do that. Now, but they used to hold you back if you didn't pass the exam. Do you understand that many of us are being held back spiritually because we keep repeating the same spiritual mistake? We keep trying to cheat the exam. No, you're going to have to take the test. Jesus himself in the garden says, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But he knew that he had to go through the cross. I'm afraid you're going to have to take the test. And if you want to graduate, you're going to have to pass it. All through Scripture, we see that every major character that God chose, God gave them a choice. There was a moment in their life when they had to choose whether they were going to do right or wrong, whether they were going to obey him or disobey him. And it's no different today. You're going to be faced with a choice whether you're going to say, yes, Lord, or no, Lord. Yes, Father, I'm going to do your will, or no, I'm not. Jesus told the parable of the two sons, right? And one was told to do, and he says, oh yeah, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. The other one said, no, I'm not going to do it. At least he was honest. But he thought about it later, and you know, he said, you know what, I better do it. Jesus then asked, which one of them obeyed the Father's will? Not the one that said, I'm going to do it, and didn't do it, but the one that did it. See, every Sunday we say we're going to do it. We come down to the altar, and we say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And as Monday comes, it's gone. See, we're writing the same sad story every day. We're not changing the direction of the book. Abraham was faced with a choice. God spoke to him and told him something that was extremely difficult and precious to him. What are we willing to sacrifice? Abraham, I want you to take your son, whom thou lovest, and I want you to go and take him to that mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. You know, Abraham told no one. Imagine if he had told his wife. Oh, he would have had a fight, wouldn't he? What? Abraham, don't you understand the miracle that happened? I was 99. You think this is going to happen? And now you're going to take him and kill him? You see, God is going to test you. You're going to have to go through some tests to prove to be qualified if you want his blessing. if he can trust you, because he is not going to take away your sovereignty by reading your mind. He's going to look at your actions. He's going to see from what comes out of you what's in your heart. Right? It's because our story is actually spoken by our actions. And he said, I'm going to tell you, Abraham, you take Isaac, and I want you to take him to this mountain. Nowhere in that story do I ever hear Abraham saying, what? Or even fighting. The Bible said he just went ahead and did it. He just went ahead and did it. To the point where he's about to do it, and God says, now I know. Can God say, now I know about you? Can he say, now I know that you love me, that there is nothing that you won't sacrifice for me? Can God say that about us? Because that's what it comes down to with our choices. Abraham showed that there was no choice he was not willing to give up for God. Genesis 22:12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know. That proves that God was not controlling him. God had given him total choice. Is there a situation in your life where you can come out and say, I did it, God, even though it was tough, even though it hurt, I'd still sacrificed. Because that's what God wants from us. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This thing that Abraham did was so great, was so enormous, was so spectacular that it empowered God, so to speak, to fulfill what Abraham could not. Because 2,000 years later, the Heavenly Father was able to give his son. He could look back and say, Abraham did that. So the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And because of Abraham's choice, he says, through you are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed. We can become a channel of blessing when we're obedient. When we're willing to give, make a choice to give to God what little we have. It's not in the Bible study, but I'm reminded of the little lad with the two fishes and five loaves. That was nothing. It was barely a meal for him. But he was willing to give it, made a choice. He could have hidden it. Nobody would have known. But he probably heard them asking, how are we going to feed? And he probably came up, maybe like Jason. You know how Jason is not afraid of anything? Here's my food. And I'm sure the disciples kind of looked at it like, they probably laughed and said, shook their heads, and probably took it to Jesus and said, well, this is what we got. But you understand, when you make even a small choice for God, he can take that and make it completely multiplied into blessing not only the little boy, but 5,000 men besides women and children were blessed by one little boy's supposedly small choice. We're going to be confronted in life with choices, some seemingly small, some seemingly great. The missionary's stories were so tremendous, how his father didn't even remember walking through that valley 40 years ago, was only there one time. One time. But he made some choice 40 years ago to walk through that valley. And now 40 years later, hundreds if not thousands of people, by one choice, by Jesus' one choice to go to the cross, millions have been delivered from the grip of hell. And so we think a lot, my choice isn't very big. Maybe just giving out a card. Maybe just waking up and praying for someone. Just that choice may make a difference in someone's life. Amen. I'm going to show you another Bible character that had to make a choice. Solomon. God had told him, listen, Solomon, because of David your father, not so much because of you, but because of David your father, and because of your prayer and what you have dedicated to me, I'm going to give you a choice. You can ask anything. Immediately, I can see the dollar signs. Cha-ching. I can see the dollar signs lighting up. If someone came to you and said, you can ask anything. That's right. Ooh, Lord, help us. You can ask anything. 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 You can ask anything. In that night, 2 Chronicles 1:7, did God appear unto Solomon, said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what. He had a choice. He could have asked to destroy all his enemies. He could have asked to live 200 years. He could have asked to I don't know what he could have asked, but he could have asked anything. He could have asked to be the richest man that ever lived. But that's not what he chose. He said, Lord, I'm too stupid to be king over your people. All the kings I've seen around, they always make such terrible choices. Just give me wisdom. The choices we make can either please God or displease him. Do you understand that the choice that Solomon made, the Bible says, the thing pleased God. Even though later on Solomon did some messed up, because of his early choice, God still had mercy upon him. The Bible said his choice pleased God, and God said to him, listen, because you chose this, you could have asked for more riches. I'm going to give you all this other stuff that you didn't ask for. That's how God is. In fact, I've told you so many times when I got married, my choice would have been for a wedding gift would have been some money. Instead, my mother sent me this big old family Bible. I'm sure it was expensive, but I couldn't sell it or eat it. No. She sent me this big old family Bible, and inside it she wrote the scripture. And at the time, let me be honest. I wasn't that happy. Like, come on now. Send some money. But you know what she sent was the word of God. It had Matthew 6:33. And I brought that Bible and showed you what she wrote almost 44 years ago. Seek ye first kingdom of heaven and God and his righteousness and all these other things. Now, I haven't been perfect in following that, but I tell you what, the more I have followed that, the more that verse has been fulfilled in my life. I can boast in God because in every financial need, he's always come through. When we seek him first, he'll give us the things that we didn't even ask for. Amen? He'll give us the things we didn't ask for. Somebody asked me the other day if I was happy, and I told him I'm very happy. I've been married 44 years to the same person, and I'm very, very happy. I'm very happy. If you don't know that, just look at me. I haven't been perfect in putting God first, but I will encourage you when you do, when you give him your choices. In this case, Solomon could have asked for anything. Because of this, the Bible said he had peace throughout all of his reign of 40 years. He ended up with the second longest reign after Manasseh and David of 40 years. The Bible says, and Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O God, Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, and for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. Which of us would have asked for that? That I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people? This is so great. God was pleased with his choice. When our choices please God, he's going to give us everything else that we didn't ask for. You just have to be patient and trust God. He will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that what the scripture says? If your ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, God's answer to Solomon's choice was everything he didn't ask for. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies. He could have said, I want all my enemies dead. Neither yet hast thou asked long life. He could have asked to live like Shem or Abraham for hundreds of years. But thou hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself that thou mayest judge. He didn't even really ask it for himself. It was so that he could lead Israel. It wasn't even so much for himself. Over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. What a promise from God. He was saying, Solomon, you're going to be the richest king that ever was. There's going to be nobody who can compare to you that's going to be on this earth. What a promise. Just because his choice was not that. Just because his choice was to serve God's people. If your choice is to serve God's people, he is going to look after you. He is going to make the way. He is going to bring deliverance. He's going to bring all the things that you did not ask for. In fact, the key is to let God make our choices. You know, when you have a lot of choices, it's perplexing. You don't know what to do. If you only have one choice, that's not a choice. But if you got many ways you can go, that's when you have to be careful. That's when you have to really seek God and say, God, what shall I do? I don't want to make a bad decision. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 20, 17, he told, I think it was Jehoshaphat, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still. Sometimes the best choice is to just stand still. Let God make the choice. You don't know what to do? Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Many times we don't know which way to turn. There's many choices in front of us. Now sometimes we're hasty and we make the wrong choice. But the Bible says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. See, when the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter what Satan is saying. Doesn't matter what other things are coming into your life. When we stand, if you have a choice and you don't know if it's the right choice, just stand still. The Lord will show you what to do. See, that's when I get scared, when I have too many choices. Even the GPS gets confused because there's about five roads and it looks like it's pointing this way. And sometimes even with GPS, you miss it. Sometimes even, you know why? For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in there. When it looks like Sodom and Gomorrah and all beautiful, that's when you need to get scared. If it looks so good, you know, they say, if it's too good to be true, yes, right? If it looks so good, then it probably isn't so good really. Tonight, someone called me. And it said spam, but I don't even know why I answered it, but I did. I was working on the Bible study, and I still answered it. And my wife said, why are you answering that? And he said, is this? And he said my name. And he said, I'm calling from some bureau, and your name has been placed in the Reader's Digest $1 million drawing. And I know you want to know how your name. Well, it was because you shopped at this store and this store. And it sounded so plausible, so right, because I have shopped at those stores. Of course, he named nearly every store. Walgreens. Anyone here shopped at Walgreens? Right? Target? Walmart? Yeah, well, that was you. It was you. So he started to tell me all his spiel and about how they just need to check out to make sure I'm really me before the cashiers check. And at that point I kind of got a little bit tired of, you know. See, too many choices lead to destruction. Many there be that go. When we have too many choices, you know what you need to do? Stand still. Don't jump. Because there's too many choices. You wait till God shows you. The Bible tells us, he would tell us, this is the way. Walk in it. You know, the true answer to too many choices is the Word of God. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp to your feet. It's going to, the Word of God, if you apply it, is going to show you which way to go. Many times, though, we go to our eyes and say, man, that looks such a good deal. I just heard about this and it looks so good. It's got to be, I'm going to get it. Or I'm going to do it. Instead of letting the Word of God speak to us. Amen. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein. What the Bible is telling us and what David learned was about submitting our will. Psalms 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. That's what I was saying. It's the Word of God that will really help us make the right choice. Psalms 143 verse 10 says, teach me to do your will. You have to teach a little kid to be obedient. Did you know that? They're not naturally obedient. They're not naturally obedient. In fact, if anything, they will like to be disobedient. David said, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. See, we have to ask God to teach us his will. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer? It says, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. So whose will are you going to seek? Are you going to seek your own will? Because I know that when we were growing up, there's all kinds of things we want to do. I'm sure even now, many of you have got all kinds of stuff you want to do. But have you asked God about it? Have you put the word on it? Whose will are you going to do? Here's Jesus' example. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will. This is the key. This was the key to God's approving Solomon's choice, because even what he asked for, it really wasn't for him. It was so that he could rule wisely. When we seek a blessing from God, if it's for someone else, if it's to be used of God, that's what God is pleased about. If we seek it just for ourselves, that's a selfish request, isn't it? If it's all about me, I, and myself, that's a selfish request. But Solomon asked for wisdom not because he wanted it for himself. The reason was that he could rule wisely, that he could judge the people. And so God was pleased with it. Jesus here again exemplifies that because he says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If we're doing God's will, there can be no problem as far as confidence in God. I'm not saying there won't be opposition. There's going to be plenty opposition. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. What Jesus was saying is that we have to give our sovereignty back to him. In all our ways, we have to acknowledge him, not just in the big things. Okay, I'm going to pray about this, but I'm not going to pray about that. It says, in all our ways, acknowledge him. That's what God is saying. Listen, if you want to be my brother or my sister, you have to be obedient. You have to have that relationship. You have to acknowledge. He says that if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we all say we love him, but that's not the first thing on our agenda. It's our will. It's what we want to do. This flesh is so unruly. Paul in Romans said, you know, it's not subject. He has to die daily. He has to get up and speak to his own flesh. We have to speak to ourselves sometimes and say, you can't do that. That's crazy. You can't think that. That's crazy. That's not pleasing to God. You see, if you want to be a servant, you have to serve. Think about that. That's very deep and profound, but think about that. People say, yes, I want to be a servant of the Lord. Well, then serve. What does serving mean? It means you obey. That's what the Roman centurion said about servants. When I say come, he comes. When I say go, he goes. We want to be a servant, but we don't want to come, and we don't want to go. That's the basic qualification to be a servant, is you come and you go. Amen. See, the thing about the choices that God wants, few, the Bible says, is that find it. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. To find God's will is the most beautiful thing. And to know you're in God's will is the most beautiful thing. You see, there'll be many choices presented to you, but to find God's will and know you're in God's will is such a comforting thing. They said the safest place in the world is to be in God's will. Amen. Because you know that's what God called you to do, and you're doing what he wants you to do. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And unfortunately, few there be that find it. So here's the question. Are you leading or are you following? See, David just knew some things. The most famous psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me. Sheep don't really have a lot of choice. You know that? They follow the shepherd. They don't decide when they're going to get out of the stall. He has to come and open the door. And they follow him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And another, they won't follow. So if you're always getting in mess, you have to question yourself, whose voice are you listening to? Because Jesus said, they won't follow another. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God will provide provision. He will lead you beside the still waters. When you are a sheep, you follow. Of course, that means sometimes it is through the valley of the shadow of death. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even when we don't see him with us. I mean, Brother Mallory's testimony was so awesome, wasn't it? Said he was in hospital, I don't know if it was for a year or more. Almost 2 years, and had been pronounced, 3 days to live. Where did he go when he was let out of hospital? He went to church. That reminded me of David when his child died. Went to church. Amen. When you put God first in your life, when you give him your life truly, when you have sold out to him, he will not let you down. Amen. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, I told someone, I don't know who it was Sunday, I said, I don't really get sick very much. I mean, I'm not saying I don't get sick, but I don't get sick very much. I don't know why that is. I just think that God knows I can't afford to get sick. I have too much to do for him. Amen. So I think he's supernaturally protected me, really. I do. I claim that because I did so many funerals in 2020 around so many people that had COVID, and I wasn't pulling back. I was hugging them. I was laying hands on them. I was praying. They were spitting on me and everything. And I'm not boasting in me. I think that was supernatural. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you believe that God is with you? When you make the right choice, he is with you. He is with you. Jesus told them, listen, when they take you before kings, don't be afraid of what you shall say. Yeah, they're going to throw you into prison, but I can get you out. Isn't that what the angel came and Peter was sleeping? So you know what that tells me? He wasn't worried. He was facing execution, but he was having him asleep. He was asleep. The angel had to shake him awake. Now, most of us would be up all night. Oh, boy, what am I going to do? I'm going to get out of this. Man, we'd be there. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to get out of this? Peter was asleep. Angel had a trouble waking him up. Get up, Peter. It's time to go. Now, that's resting. That's trusting. That's faith. Amen. You see, we have to make our choice. And our choice sometimes does mean taking up a cross. Yes, sometimes it means they will throw us in prison. Sometimes literally and other times just figuratively. But we have to work out our own salvation. We have to choose, as the song says, to be a Christian. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's a choice. When it says deny, it means all the things you would like to do. Most of you would have liked to be at home tonight. Wouldn't it be nice and warm by a fire tonight? Making some nice hot chocolate with some cookies. I was driving back from Green Bay because I've been up there all this week. And I stopped by a certain restaurant and they had some cakes and some other things in there. And I said, I'd like this. She said, you know what? I'm just going to give you them because they've been in here a day. And I went home and I had some nice cake. What I'm trying to tell you is this. That even though the devil will come to destroy you, God can give you a hug. When you're ready to deny yourself and follow him truly. I don't mean follow him a little bit. I mean follow him properly. Follow him truly. Amen. See, he is the one leading, not us. He's the one supposed to be the shepherd, not us. Amen. But a lot of us think we're the shepherd. No, he is the shepherd. We're the sheep. Amen. We have to follow him. The Bible says here that you have to deny yourself. Right? There's so many other places we could go on a nice cold Tuesday evening. We could be in our bed. I'm sure you've all had a long, hard day. But we're here because the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are. Why? Because we are here to hear God's word. Not me. Not me. You're here to hear God's word. And when we hear the word, it has a powerful effect, because the Bible says that faith comes by. Now, if your faith wasn't boosted a little on Sunday, you need to get some hearing aids. You need some spiritual hearing aids, because my faith was boosted to know that God can deliver someone who was at death's door. That's what the word does. It gives us faith, and it also washes us. It encourages us. It edifies us. So that's why we have to deny ourselves and follow his will, his cross, and follow me. Luke 11:20, he said unto them, when he prays, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As I've said so many times, the greatest thing that you can say is thy will be done. If you mean it. Not my will, but thy will be done. If you truly mean it. If you truly mean it. You know, there have been times in my life where God has been so merciful. When I was in crisis, when I was about to make terrible decisions, and I've told you this before, when I was 18 and I was doing my own thing, and my father took me out in the car and sat me down and just looked at me. And he said a few things. He said, you know, you're not yourself. I want you to look back on this year and look at the choices. He pointed me to my choices and he said, look at the choices. Is that you? Did you really want to do that? And when he said that, something happened to me. The Lord had mercy. And I looked at my choices. You know what I said? Now my flesh was still fighting me. My flesh was saying, he's an old man. He doesn't understand. But somehow I said, yes, Father, I'm going to do your will. And we went back to the house, and both my parents came down in my room, and they laid hands on me and prayed. And God did a deliverance. God changed around my life. Just because I listened to my Father. See, when we listen to the Father, things are going to start to get better. Maybe not immediately. You know, they say if you're in a pit and you've dug yourself a pit, the first thing to do is to do what? Stop digging. Put down the shovel. Don't make it worse. Before you even climb out, stop digging. Stop making the situation worse. Thy will be done, not my will. When we are at that place where we can submit our will to God, he can take it from there. He can take it from there. He's got this. But we have to voluntarily say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to interfere. I need an intervention. I need you to take over my flesh. I need you to take over my family situation. I need you to take over this medical report. I need you to take over this relational situation. Because he's the only one that can. Amen. Now, we have a prime example of somebody who was a beautiful creature who went his own way. Isaiah 14:13. For thou hast said in thine heart, and it always starts there. That's where all the bad stuff starts. We start to talk to ourselves, I'm going to put up with what they say I'm going to do. You start talking to yourself, but instead of saying the right words, you start the I will. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to show them what for. If they think I'm a floor mat, I'm going to teach them a lesson. If they think they, I'm going to show them what for. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. It's all those I wills that will get us into trouble. Have we said, Lord, what is your will? This is what got Satan. The moment he said all these I will is when he fell. The moment he started to say, I'm going to do this. Because you know, the Bible says in Hebrews that he creates all his servants. Are they not all ministers to those that be heirs of salvation? He was created a servant. Now, a servant does not say, I will. It says, your will. The moment he decided to say, I will, he decided he didn't want to be a servant. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now contrast that with our perfect example, which is Jesus Christ. Now, you think he wanted in his flesh to be crucified, to be whipped, to be beaten? Anybody think that's a great happy day? No. No. The Bible said who for the joy endured, See, you have to endure the cross. It's not that it's great to have to go through trials and tribulations. Matthew 26:39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible," it's okay to ask God to take away your situation. It's not a sin. But if he doesn't, you still have to trust him. He waited 2 years, wasn't it, in the hospital, prayed so many times. In fact, he told us at the rest of that he even had some preacher come and tell him, "It's because you won't admit your sin." You know, it was a Job's comforters type of thing to come and tell him all kinds of stuff. The devil can even use Peter. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? "Oh, Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross." What did Jesus tell him? Sometimes the devil will use your closest friend to try and take away your choice of serving him. Amen. "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass." But he always ended it this, "Nevertheless." This really what saved my life, because when my father talked to me, I didn't say it, but in my flesh, "Oh, man, this is not what I want to do." But anyway, what came out was, "I'm going to obey you, Father." "Nevertheless." Isn't that what brought in the haul of fishes by Peter? We've been fishing all night. We're expert fishermen. Don't you know we've been here all night fishing? They're not biting. "Nevertheless." Look it up. That's what the word says in the King. It says, "Nevertheless, at thy word." I tell you, whatever crisis you're going through right now, if you will use those words in faith, believing, and just say to God, "Nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless, at thy word, Lord." Because when you do that, you will be found pleasing. You'll be doing just like Solomon, asking for the right thing. I try now when I pray not to ask for stuff for me, because I believe God knows what I need, right? Doesn't the Bible says, "No good thing will he withhold." So really, if we trusted him, we wouldn't really have to ask too much for ourselves. Just our daily bread. That's all the scripture says. "Give us this day just what I need for today." "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." In the flesh, Jesus did not want to experience pain and die. Matthew 26:42, he went away the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Ooh, that is the most powerful prayer you can say, is "thy will be done," if you mean it. Now, we can say it and not mean it. But if you can truly, honestly say when you're praying, and you've got some difficult situation, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." Even if it's a cross you don't want to bear. Amen? You see, he has promised that there will be a way of escape. Now, the way of escape is not what we can bear by ourselves. We can't. The way of escape is only possible if he is with us. "There hath no temptation taken you but as such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." There will be a way to choose out of your situation. But only if you are trusting him. Amen? Only if you are trusting him. There will be a way to choose out of your situation. If you could stand with me, I told you I wouldn't keep you long. Deuteronomy 30:15 says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." We have choices that are real, and it won't be any good when we stand before God and say, "The devil made me do it." No, that won't work. No. He has given us the ability to choose, and to choose him. Isaiah 30:21, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, if you're listening, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When he turned to the right hand, when he turned to the left." God wants us to find his path. But we have to be in a meditative, quiet situation. If we're making a lot of noise and shouting at him, shouting at the world, we may miss the voice. It wasn't in the fire and in the earthquake. It was in the still, small voice. Do you understand that Elijah's ministry changed after he went up the mountain? Before that, he was calling down fire and thunder. And after he came down the mountain, it was a different ministry. Because now he listened to the still, small voice. God is speaking to us in many ways. Sometimes he has to make the circumstance shout before we really listen. But he wants to speak to us and for us to obey. There's coming a day, though, where we won't be able to make a choice. The Bible says, let him that is unrighteous or filthy be filthy still. Let him that be righteous still. There's coming a day when truly I'll be able to give that choice to him and he can take it. I don't want to make some choices. There's some choices I don't even want to make. They're not good options. I just want to give it to him. Hallelujah. In Revelation 10:5, there's coming a day, though, it says, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth and lifted up his hand and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be no more delay. There's coming a time when you won't have to be facing a crisis. Because the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 4, that God shall wipe away all tears. Amen. And because we have been faithful, because we have made the right choices, amen, we're going to see that day. Hallelujah. I hope that tonight, when you go away, you'll meditate upon choice and think about all the choices. We cannot go back in the past, but tomorrow we get to write a new page. We can make a really nice story about our lives. We can say, Lord, I gave out a card. I prayed for someone. I called someone. I encouraged someone. See, we can make a choice to be a servant. We can make a choice to be told to go and to come. Not just call ourselves servant, but to actually obey. Hallelujah. That's what God has called us to. To give the choices back to him. Just as he did. Because when we do that, then we truly become brother, sister, and we have a relationship. That's what he says. It's those that will obey me have the relationship. Hallelujah. We're going to close this Bible study. But I think this is awesome. Not what I've said, but God, just God's promises. Just God's promises. That the fact that he didn't ask for riches, God was so pleased with him and says, you know what? Because you didn't ask for those things, I'm going to give you them anyway. In fact, I'm going to make you relatively the richest man that ever lived. There's going to be no one after you that it's going to be arrayed like you. In fact, in the Bible, if you calculate it out, the Bible says Solomon got 25 tons of gold every year for 40 years. 25 tons of gold was delivered to him every year. 25 tons, not pounds, of gold was delivered to him every year, if you calculate out the weights. And he ate on gold. It probably wasn't even anything that was valuable after a while. But that was just God fulfilling his pledge. Because you chose me. Because you chose me, Abraham, over your son. Because of that, I'm going to make him come back, so to speak. And through him and through your seed, all the nations of... Because, little boy, you have given your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 15,000 people here are going to eat. Our choices don't only just affect us, but affect everyone around us. Because of Lot's choice, most of his family died. Yes, he in the end and 2 daughters escaped, but the rest of his family died because he chose by sight. See, sometimes we make such bad mistakes, but God is so merciful, so gracious, that if we can just, from where we are, start to write some new chapters in our book of life that God can use, we can become his servant. Hallelujah. I'm going to close this Bible study, and I just want you to think about these things as we close, that we make the right choices, that we, as we pray, that we pledge tonight, God, you take all my choices, Lord. Whatever you want me to be, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I submit it to you tonight. I don't ask for myself, but Lord, that whatever blessing you give me, that it will be so I can bless somebody else, that I can win somebody else, that I can be the servant who goes when you say go. I can be the servant that comes when you say come. That's what God wants from us today with our choices. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. Let your anointing rest and dwell upon everyone tonight that is under the sound of my voice. Lord, as we humbly beg, oh God, and we submit our choices to you, Lord God, that you would use us as a servant, Lord, that we will go when you say go. Lord, we will come when you say come. Lord, let your pleasure, Lord God, and your will, Lord God, and your grace be manifest in our lives. Lord, you know the situations we're dealing with, but Lord, you have promised, hallelujah, that you are able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. You're able to do more. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight for blessing, for deliverance, for healing, for restitution, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.